God the Father, God the Son. It is the foundation for our religion. Amen. Amen. Father and Son. We worship Father and Son, not Mother and Son. Not just Father. We worship Father and Son. They are one. Amen. Now, so the word two in Hebrew is this word, Shinai. And Shinai means division. It can be a good thing, okay? A good thing would be a husband and wife. How many know that in order to produce life, you need 46 chromosomes? Amen. Man has 23, woman has 23. Amen. Together, they can make a child. Amen. Right? Fathers, it's Father's Day. They can bring life into this world. So in that regard, it's a good thing, okay? But most of the time in the biblical text, it's going to be something that is evil. All right? For instance, you have here in this text, you have the children of Israel vacillating between two opinions. They've been divided. Amen? Do we worship Yahweh or do we worship Baal? Now, let's finish the story. You know, most of you know the story. The story is this. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to bring a sacrifice. They sacrifice a bull. And they say, you pray. Elijah tells them, you pray. And if Baal is God, he'll consume the sacrifice. But if Yahweh is God, he'll consume my sacrifice. So they pray, and Elijah, he kind of pokes a little fun at him, says, maybe he's asleep, maybe he's on vacation, maybe he can't hear, you know, and they even cut themselves, and nothing happens. So Elijah, remember, he tells them to bring water, and they bring pots of water, and they pour it on his sacrifice. And the Bible says there was so much water soaking the sacrifice and the wood underneath it that it filled the ditches around there with water. But when Elijah prayed, what happened? Fire came down from heaven. The Bible tells us not only did it consume the sacrifice, but it lapped up all the water in the ditches. Amen. So in other words, in the eyes of and let's go here, jump over to verse 38. Let's look what happened. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and he executed them there. Somebody say, amen or oh me. All right. Now, from the creation of man, there have been two wills on this earth. Before man's created, there's only one. Amen. Okay? That's God. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1, if you would, with me. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created two things. What were they? Heavens and earth. God creates two things. But rabbinic literature, the writings of the ancient rabbis, always thought that God was always trying to bring heaven to earth, to make them one. Matter of fact, when Jesus prays in Matthew 16, 6 verse 10, he tells the disciples say, how should we pray? And he's telling them how to pray. And he says that, Father, may your will be done in heaven as on earth as it is in heaven. So even in that prayer, we see Jesus trying to bring heaven down to earth. Matter of fact, Messiah is coming back to earth. Amen. Bible says there'll be a new heaven, a new earth. It says New Jerusalem is coming down. Amen. So God is going to unite both earth and heaven someday as one. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let's go to verse 2. I want to show you something. Verse 2, to make my point. I'm going to use a little bit of what we taught on Wednesday to make a point here today. We're going to look at the number 2 and 3. In verse 2 of Genesis, it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." The word "without form" is the Hebrew word tohu. All right? Tohu has a long, long meaning, but I'll just put a couple of them up here. First one is confusion and chaos. Okay? But I'll show you some other ways it gets translated in the Bible. It can mean an empty place. It's translated as nothing, not, vain, vanity, waste, wilderness, desert wasteland. It can mean moral and spiritual emptiness. It can be used as to destroy a city. Chaos. All right, now let's go to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. All right, I want to show you what God says. Isaiah 45. So God creates the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2 it says that the earth was without form and void, or it was a place of confusion and chaos. All right, now, let's look at verse 18 of Isaiah 45, page 927. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says, did I tell you 927? Page 927. Verse 18, "For thus says Yahweh, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in tohu, in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is no other." So God never created the earth to be chaos, all right, or confusion. God said it in his word, "I didn't create that kind of earth." Everybody with me? Still with me? All right, let me go to another word real quick. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the earth. How many know darkness doesn't exist? There's no such thing as darkness. Darkness is just a lack of light, an absence of light. So what are we going to see here in Genesis? The earth is in a chaotic state. It is covered with darkness. But then verse 2 tells us that water had covered the earth, right? And the Spirit of God was hovering over that. Amen. Amen. And then the next verse, verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." Right? Amen. What did we just see a picture of? The word light there in Hebrew is the word or, O-R. And it means order. So what we're seeing a picture of is the plan of salvation. How many know that before you said yes to Jesus, your life was pretty chaotic? Amen. And it had no order to it. Amen. So once you said yes to Jesus, the light displaced the darkness in your life and brought order to your life. Amen. Amen. So we're seeing the plan of salvation in these first few verses. And not only that, the earth was covered with water. And then a few verses later, it says that the earth came up out of the water, and the water was made to go into one place. Amen. So what's happening here? See, you got baptized when you were baptized in water, it was a symbol that you were dead. When you were under the water, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now God has quickened you and made you alive in Messiah Jesus. Amen. When you come up. So here the earth is, it's chaotic, and God brings it up out of the water. Well, he says, let there be light. Okay, he creates light, and he separates the light from the darkness. Amen. That's what it says. And you know what? The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that you and I have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the love of his Son. Amen. Amen. And the Bible also encourages us that light shouldn't have fellowship with darkness. Amen. If you're walking in light, you shouldn't be over here in sin. Right? We got it? And then the earth comes up out of the water later. And that's a picture of you and I. When we're born again, we're born again, we're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love, into light, right? Bible says that Jesus was the light of all men. He was the light of the world. So we're in his kingdom now, and then we go get baptized. Glory to God. So we see the picture in the first part of the Bible. Amen. All right, now, I want to show some of you that weren't here the other day. Well, first of all, let's go to Revelation 12. I want to talk about this again. I hope it wasn't too confusing. Now, something happens. I need to clarify this. Something, I believe, happens between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Now, I am not a gap theorist, okay? I do not believe in a pre-Adamic race. I don't believe there is a gap between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 of billions of years. Okay? Yeah, I've made my case the last 3 weeks in our study of Revelation where I think demons and devils come from. All right? And I think that teaching has more biblical proof than a pre-Adamic race. Okay, the gap theory is there's billions of years between Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and a pre-Adamic race was created, and demons come from the disembodied spirits of this pre-Adamic race. Okay, I don't believe that. But what I do believe is, pre-Adamic, before Adam. Okay, so, but what I do believe is that somewhere here between Genesis 1 and 2, Satan was cast out of heaven. Amen. Okay? And I want to read you, for you who weren't here Wednesday, I want to read this passage of Scripture in Revelation 12. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, like I said Wednesday, I've racked my brain over this text. Okay? What is the chronological order of Satan being cast out? And I believe that, you know, there is a picture. For instance, the Bible tells us that the tabernacle of Moses was made after the tabernacle in heaven. Okay? The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. The Bible tells us that God loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. And I believe that what happened was this whole scenario was being played out in heaven, and Satan rebelled against it and is cast down to the earth between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and therefore the earth is full of confusion and chaos. You with me? All right, now, let me show you something else. Somebody say amen or oh me. If you come up with a better idea, I'm all ears. Okay, now, you don't have to believe that timing of that event. What you do have to believe is this: Satan was cast down, and a third of the angels were cast down with him. Amen. Now, I don't care when you believe he was cast down, he was cast down. Amen. All right? Everybody's got that part. Okay, now, let's go over. Let me turn my page. Let me put this up here. I've done it a couple times, but for some of you that haven't been here, the Jewish belief in hell, or Sheol, is that it had two compartments, right? Amen. One was called paradise, also known as Abraham's bosom. It was a place of peace and rest. The other compartment was known as hell, a place of torment. Amen. Now, turn with me just so I can show you some witnesses here. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. All right, we're going to look in verse 35 and 36. Now, if you're here Wednesday, you remember that when you died, if you were a servant of God, okay, you were obedient to God's word, you went here to paradise. We're going to read the text in Luke 16. But if you didn't live for God, you went here. Now, let me show you what Jacob believed. You remember the story, Jacob had 12 sons, and one of his sons was Joseph, and Joseph was given a coat of many colors, right? And the brothers were jealous of Joseph. Joseph was favored by his father. Joseph had a couple dreams, and he interpreted the dreams to mean that his brother someday would bow to him. Well, how'd that go over, huh? Not very well, okay? I can't imagine any big brother, you know, having his little brother tell him, you know, you're going to bow to me someday. You know, I'm going to say, we'll talk about that later, you know, maybe more later. Right? Anyway, so that's what happened. They tore up his coat. They killed a lamb. They put blood on it. And they told his father that some lion or some beast came and killed him. And the whole time, they sold him into slavery. He wasn't dead. So let's pick it up here. Let's read. It says, let's look at verse 34. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, now watch, for I shall go down into the grave, Sheol, to my son in mourning. In other words, Jacob was saying, until the day I die, I will be mourning my son. And when I enter Sheol, this place, I'll still be mourning my son. So the idea is that Sheol was someplace down in the earth. And we see that Jacob makes a statement, I will go down. All right? Then we also know that in Samuel, 1 Samuel, that when Saul is disobedient and the Philistines are about to throttle him, he doesn't seek God because God's not answering his prayers. He seeks the witches of Endor who call up Samuel. Samuel comes up. All right? So that means he must have been down in order to come up. Everybody's still here. All right. Now, let's prove this for anybody watching watching us live stream, or anybody that might get this tape. Let's give a couple witnesses. I'm gonna get on with my message here in a minute. Let's go to Luke 16, verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. Verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to where? Abraham's bosom. Right? The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, rich man's over here. He's in torment, right? He's over there in torment. Being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Okay? Then in verse 24, then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to it. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So ancient rabbinic literature, the rabbis say this was a true story, not a parable. That Jesus even knew the man, the rich man's name, but because he didn't want to upset any family members, he simply said a rich man without giving the name. But he did give the beggar's name, Lazarus. But the point is, you can see the Jewish belief of Sheol, two compartments here, right? Now, for you who weren't here, I want us to go to the book of Job. Job 18. You find Psalms and just go to your left. I want you to see something. Job 18. For you who are here Wednesday, just hang in there. I'm going to get to my point here in a minute. Job 18. Yeah. Is that right? Verse 13. Job 18, verse 13. Job 18, verse 13. Let's go to 12. His strength is starved, and destruction is ready at his side. It devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. This is someone who's disobedient. He is uprooted from the shelter of his tent, and they parade him before the king of terrors. All right? Now, it's obvious that this place has a king. Now, if you go to Revelation 9:11 like we did Wednesday, we find out who this king is. It calls him the king of the bottomless pit. His name is Abaddon, and his name means destroyer. Amen. So there is a destroyer over this pit that, and now watch, now he is the angel of death. He's the same angel of death that flew across Egypt And those who had the blood on the doorpost were spared, but those who didn't lost their firstborn. Okay? He is death and he has authority here. You with me? Amen. He's in charge. Nobody's getting out. Nobody from the good side, nobody from the bad side is getting out because of Abaddon, the king. All right, now, what I just read you in Job says that they parade him. Somebody who dies is disobedient of God. They parade him before the king. In other words, they take that spirit of that man and they parade that spirit of that person in front of Abaddon, the king of hell. I didn't make this up, okay? Now stay with me. You can't get out of either place because why? Because Adam sinned. Amen. And when Adam sinned, he forfeited that authority and dominion to Satan. You with me? That authority and that dominion. And what entered? What entered when he sinned? Death. Adam was immortal until he sinned. And now death comes in. And death reigns. And how many of you know death has real power? Look at all the wars that have been fought from the time mankind has been created. From the time that Cain killed his brother Abel. Death now has come into the picture. All right? Now, you got that? Everybody good there? Now, I want us to look at the number. Well, I'm going to erase this top part. I want us to look at the number three. The number three in Hebrew is this word, shalosh. All right? And it means fullness, completeness, it also means to measure, and it means the sum total. All right? Now, let me show you some places in the Bible really fast where it's used. All right? It also can mean preparation. I forgot that one. Let me put that up there. It also carries the idea of preparation. I'm going to give you a hint about something. Did they not prepare Jesus' body for burial for 3 days? I gave you a hint. Now, hold on. Let me show you how it's used in preparation besides that. In Ezra 8:15, remember Ezra is given the command that he can leave given the command by the Medo-Persian king that he can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us in Ezra 8:15 that Ezra waited 3 days for everybody to gather. They were preparing. And in that 3 days, after 3 days, they were prepared to take the journey to Jerusalem. All right? Then in chapter 8, verse 32, once they arrived, he took up an offering. But he waited 3 days before he totaled the offering. He was waiting for all the offering to come in. And then he counted. And then in Nehemiah 2, remember Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. In Nehemiah 2:11, it tells us that after he arrived in Jerusalem, he waits 3 days before he measured the walls. He was preparing to measure the walls and start to build. All right? Now, it also, this word shalosh also seems to indicate by its use that it indicates 3 days indicates justice has run its course and then is tempered by grace. Do you hear me? It indicates that justice has run its course and then is tempered by grace. We see it used in Genesis 42:17, remember the brothers that throw Joseph in, or sold him into slavery. Now he's ruling over Egypt. And he's had the wisdom given to him by God to grow extra crops and prepare, because there's going to be a famine. And so all the Egyptian storehouses are full. But his brothers, their father sent them to Egypt to gather some grain so they would survive. And when he comes, when they come to Joseph and he recognizes them, he imprisons them. He didn't throw them into prison, I don't think, but he kept them there as captives for how many days? 3 days. He kept them captive for 3 days before he extended his grace to them. Amen. Cool. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Israel experienced a famine for 3 years, and then God lifted the famine. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah's drought lasted 3 years. In each case, there was a full taste of justice followed by gracious restoration. Now, 1 Kings, I'm not going to make you read this. 1 Kings 17, 21. There's a woman who has a son who dies. And Elijah the prophet comes. And what does he do? He lays himself prostrate over that dead boy. How many times did he do that? Three times. And then God restored his life. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to get ready to shout. Now, all right, now, let's wait here. In the Aaronic blessing, the blessing that speaks of God's favor, it's the commanded blessing. God's most holy name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is invoked three times. You know, in Revelations, there are seal judgments, there are bowl judgments, and there are trumpet judgments. But then, New Jerusalem comes down. Amen. The kingdoms of this earth become the kingdoms of our God. Amen. Then, there was a man named Jesus. And he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, these guys that are trying to trip him up. And he says, I'll tell you what, boys, if you kill this body, I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. Now watch. That's my phone, and I'm sorry. Who is calling me, knowing where I'm at right now? Just there you go. Praise the Lord. Now what? Jesus dies at Calvary. Now I believe, and I may have the order wrong, I believe that he goes to heaven, into the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he sprinkles his blood on the mercy seat. Why? Now the full penalty of man's sin has been paid. Then he goes into Sheol, this side. You with me? See, Abaddon's there. Hey, nobody can leave here. Oh, yes, they can. Because I've been dead 3 days, and in 3 days I have completely paid and satisfied justice. Glory to God. And after that third day, all the people of God who were here now go with him into the throne room of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. And the Apostle Paul says, now watch, the Apostle Paul tells, no, let's go read it. 2 Corinthians. You need to see this. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. See, the price for your sin and my sin has been paid. Nobody should be walking around with guilt and condemnation on their life because it has been satisfied. God didn't just arbitrarily pick 3 days. It was 3 days that would take for justice to be satisfied. And then God was going to temper it with some grace. Glory to God. Page 1650. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Help me. Where'd that come from? Verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Paul's telling us that, you know, when this body dies, we are promised a new glorified body. Now he goes on in verse 5 to say, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you is your guarantee that someday your body will be resurrected and put on immortality. Amen. Now, don't ask me why that there are some denominations that don't even believe in the infilling or the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I really don't want to live in this world any longer without the Spirit of God dwelling in me. Because there are times I don't feel like keeping on. There are times that I don't feel like I got any faith. There are times that I feel defeated. But at those times, that Holy Spirit will rise up in us and say, hey, guess what? You're more than a conqueror. Amen? Glory to God. More than a conqueror. I heard Shambach say what more than a conqueror was. He said when Holyfield beat Mike Tyson the first time, he took a check for $20 million home to Mrs. Holyfield. And at that moment, she became more than a conqueror. Amen. See, Jesus has paid the price. 3 days, he satisfied justice. 3 days, he has covered all your sin and all your guilt. Amen. For 3 days. Therefore, you're more than a conqueror. You didn't have to die. He died for you. And now you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you as your guarantee. Turn over to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Watch this. Verse 18, page 1562. Let's start in verse 11. Abaddon's not in charge anymore, is he? Death is not in charge anymore. Oh, glory to God. If he had any keys, any authority, it's all been taken back. Amen. Glory to God. He says here in verse 9, it's my service, I can change my mind. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit, watch, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Let's think about this for a minute. That was the same power that defeated Abaddon. Amen. Amen. And he dwells in you. Amen. Glory to God. He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Watch. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the what? Sons of God and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Look here. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear what? To fear death. You've not been given that spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. But you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Messiah. Joint heirs with what? With Messiah. What's that mean? Has he not been clothed in a glorified body? Has he not been resurrected? Glory to God. Was he not resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes, he was. And we are joint heirs with him. That means that we have a promise of a resurrection someday also. And not only that, but God has placed his Spirit in us as an earnest down payment on that new house. Glory. And he goes on to say, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now watch verse 18. Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole earth, the whole world, the whole earth, all of creation is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. And who are the sons of God? Those who have been led by the Spirit of God. And what are they waiting? And what are they looking to, what is the earth looking to be revealed? When this mortal puts on immortality, glory to God. Because the whole earth knows that it's going to be renewed also. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. We don't have to worry about Abaddon. Abaddon has been defeated. Now I want to read you something. I want you to go over to Job. Job again. Chapter 1. I want you to see something. Oh, Job. Job chapter 1. You all go to Job chapter 1. I'm going to look for something. Job chapter 1, verse 6. I want you to see something. How many know Satan, old Slewfoot, he went into the presence of God, did he not? Amen. To talk about Job. But I want you to see something, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan also came among them. I don't, you know, Job says there was a day. There was a day when Slewfoot had a right to go in there and accuse the brethren. But I believe Job has written there was a day looking forward to our day when death, hell, and the grave would be defeated and Satan would no longer have access to God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has already been sprinkled on the heavenly mercy seat. Amen. Amen. And he no longer has access to the Father like he did because he is totally defeated. Amen. Amen. And as a body, we need to start walking and trusting God and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. When we face difficulties, let's get on our face and seek God and allow His Holy Spirit to lead us, guide us, and direct us. Amen? Amen. Instead of calling three or four people that are going to tell you you're going to die or you ain't going to make it. Huh? Let's let the Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, and direct us. Hallelujah. He is the earnest expectation, and the enemy is truly defeated. Even in death, Paul said, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" Because Paul was saying that even in death, you go to be with the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. No longer in Sheol, but you're with the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Praise His mighty name. Glory to God. Now I'm just a pastor. But I do believe on laying on hands. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit is a source of joy. Amen. And I want to pray for you. If somebody in here, if you're in here, maybe you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, where you speak in other tongues, you need baptized in the Holy Spirit. They did that in the book of Acts by laying hands on people. Or maybe the old Slewfoots just stole your joy. And you just need to have your joy renewed. Amen. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, for us not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but we should be filled continually. The Greek there, to be filled, is a continual filling. You know, the Bible shows us that Jesus ministered to people, and then He went out and He laid hands on people and He prayed for people. And periodically He would go back and He would spend time with God, and God would re-energize Him, you know, afresh and anew, and He would go out and do it again. And you know, sometimes life does that to us. Sometimes life just drains all the energy and the joy out of us. And sometimes we just need to, you know, every morning I ask God to fill me afresh. Because I know that I need Him every day. I face challenges that I need Him. What do you mean challenges, Pastor? Well, you know, I run into situations where I'd just soon cuss and smack somebody as I would, deal with the problem. Really? Yeah, really. You do too. Okay? There are people you may not smack them, but you sure want to give them a piece of your mind. Huh? And I always say some of us ain't got much left to give. We don't be careful. So I want to lay my hands on you just like Paul did. Paul in the book of Acts, he asked him, he said, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, this is Acts 19. He said, well, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And Paul laid hands on him and prayed for him. And that's all I'm doing today. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you come up here. I want to baptize you. I want to lay my hands and pray for you. And we'll trust God for the rest. Or if the devil stole your joy, I want to pray for you that you get your joy back. Amen. Well, how do I know if the devil stole my joy? Well, let me ask you something. Here's my litmus test. Here's how I know if my joy has been stolen. Is it hard for me to go to church? Do I want to get up and go to church? Or is it a drag? See, that's a clear indication your joy has been stolen. Everybody amen? Huh? I'm going to tell you something, folks. We live in an hour and a day when there is a true spirit of apostasy, where people don't want to put out the effort, where church and God have just become another event on their busy calendars. And we just need to make sure that we have His joy, that we're looking forward to showing up as a corporate body and worshiping God. Amen. So if the devil stole your joy, come up here and let me pray with you. Or if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you and let God do the rest. Just line up right here. Hallelujah. Anybody else? God is good. Hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory. Come on up here just a little bit closer to me. There you go. Right there. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Father, some of these have come to be baptized with your Holy Spirit. Father, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Oh, Father, I just believe you now that you're going to do that. Some have come, Lord God, because they want their joy to be restored. And Father, I just believe that your Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing, hallelujah, will come upon them. Oh, praise your mighty, mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would come down upon Jackie. Fill her, Lord God. Fill her to overflowing. Father, if she's never prayed in the Holy Spirit, I just pray that she'll begin to pray in your Holy Spirit. It is the untapped power source of the church. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you for that now. We glorify you. Let the joy of the Lord be her strength. Let her family see that joy and want what she has. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I lift up Janie to you. I lay my hands on her, Lord, because your word commands us to, Lord. And Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would flow from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God, restoring her joy. And if she's never prayed in the Holy Spirit, Lord, I just pray that that unknown tongue will begin to bubble up inside of her. Oh, glory to God. We praise you. We magnify you. Oh, Father, I thank you for Robin, Lord God. I just believe you now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is coming down upon her, filling her, that her joy would be full, Lord God. And Father, I pray that out of her belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, hallelujah, that as she prays in your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I just thank you for Diane, Lord. I just pray your Holy Spirit would come down upon her, restore her joy, Lord God. Oh, Father, I just believe you now that out of her belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, we bless you and praise you. Father, I thank you for grace, Lord God. Oh, Father, I just pray. I pray right now, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would come down upon her right now. Let her know that she has been touched by the power of God, the same Spirit that had raised Jesus from the dead, Father, and it will bubble up out of her, Lord, that out of her belly shall flow rivers of living water. Father, I just pray for that prayer language, Lord, that she will be able to praise you and worship you in angelic tongues, Lord. We just believe you now. Father, fill her now in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. For mom and son, Lord God, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to come down upon them, Lord God. Father, energize them, let their joy be full. And Father, I just pray that they will begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, that it will be like rivers of living water flowing out of them, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray for my Aunt Helen, Lord God. Father, I lift her up to you. Lord God, there's been a little bit of a roadblock here. And Father, I just pray you right now. Let her know that she knows that she is filled with your Holy Spirit. She has done nothing, Lord God, that would keep her from praying in the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I just pray that living water would begin to bubble up inside of her. Oh, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just bless you and praise you. Hallelujah. Good. All right. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for Maggie. I just believe you right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is flowing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, flowing upon her, Lord God, and filling her with your holy